Deuteronomy 29:4. Yet to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to know, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear. May God be pleased to give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to know, particularly hearts to know Him. It's an amazing thing, is it not, that many things that come to us in the Bible seem to come to us in a negative form. The Ten Commandments come to us in a negative form. And I wonder why that would be the case. Well, part of the reason that this is the case is the Bible recognizes our need of God and our need of the grace of God. And this particular text tells us of our need of the grace of God. And it is the grace of God, in turn, that spurs us on to follow Him. And so we ought to learn to give thanks for God's grace. We ought to learn to give thanks for God's mercy. We ought to learn to give thanks for God's goodness to us in every way. And that's really the theme of the message this morning. We must learn from the example of ancient Israel and give thanks to God for His grace in granting us new hearts to embrace Christ and to live for Him. Sometimes this seems backwards to us. Sometimes this it seems that the proper way to talk about these matters is to say to you and for you to say to me, well, if you will take the initiative and open your heart and allow the grace of God to be operative in your heart, then God will come in and you will follow Him. But that's not what the Bible is telling us this morning. It's telling us something quite different, it seems. And again, if you'd look at this text with me, and its context, that is, in the 29th chapter of Deuteronomy, we'll look at verse 4 and look at the surrounding verses. Verse 1, first of all, in Deuteronomy. Of course, that's right at the beginning of your Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 29:1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the sons of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them at Horeb. The whole book of Deuteronomy, as we've noted on previous occasions, is a book of the covenant. It begins in the very first chapters with an outline of who God is, the great God of all, the Creator of all. And in the fifth chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, we have a recitation of the Ten Commandments. These are the stipulations, if you will, of the covenant. They give us an outline of how to serve God. Not that we will have right standing by keeping them, but they are an outline of how we ought to serve Him by the grace of God. And then in the next chapter, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, at the beginning of that chapter, we have the great words of Moses, given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit: you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And this is really the theme of the book of Deuteronomy: the love of God, how we are to love Him by His grace. And then in the subsequent chapters, in chapter 7 all the way through chapter 26, we have an exposition of the Ten Commandments. That's what Calvin calls it, an exposition of the Ten Commandments. And then in chapters 26 and 27, and rather in chapters 27 and 28, we have certain blessings and cursings. And last week we looked at one of those hard sayings that comes in the book of Deuteronomy: cursed is everyone who does not perform all things written in the law. And that is a hard saying. And we saw how that applies to Christ, and how He took the curse for us, and how He kept the law perfectly. There are those blessings and cursings. And now we come to chapter 29. And in chapter 29, Moses is simply saying, look, this covenant, this way of life, has been set before you. And the people of Israel are on the verge of entering into the promised land proper. They are on the verge of crossing Jordan. Verses 2 and following. And Moses summoned all Israel, and said to them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and all his servants and all his land, the great trials which your eyes have seen, those great signs and wonders. And Moses points back to what God did among the people of Egypt 40 years before, how God worked in marvelous ways. And there were 10 plagues that God brought upon the land of Egypt. Number 10 is kind of interesting. And I think the number 10 refers to the men and women of the earth and the judgments that God brings upon the men and women of Egypt. And that's why there are 10 plagues. There are 10 fingers on your hand. Hands. I wonder why. You're human beings. There are 10 toes on your feet. Why? You stand erect and you walk on them. And it's meant to be that way. And there are 10 commandments outlining how men and women are to live before God and the judgments that God brought before the people of Egypt. The men and women of Egypt were 10 in number. They're amazing. Turning water to blood. Can you imagine turning on your faucet and blood coming out? That would be horrifying, wouldn't it? Can you imagine the whole countryside being filled with frogs? Some folks like frogs, pet frogs. And at the county fair, there are frog jumping contests, or at the 4th of July celebration. But can you imagine the whole countryside being so filled with frogs that you can't get away from them? And then come the lice, and everything is covered with that. And God brings the flies, and God kills all of the livestock of Egypt, and none of the livestock of Israel is touched. And God covers the people of Egypt with boils. How many of you have had a boil? You know, one is a problem. Can you imagine being covered with them? It's hardly conceivable to us. And then the hail comes. We dread the hail, especially right before harvest time, because the crops can be destroyed. And not only the crops, but houses and automobiles. Just amazing phenomenon that occur in the land of Egypt. And even after the hail, the crops were not destroyed because the wheat crop, for instance, was not a winter wheat crop that was harvested earlier, but it was a wheat crop that was harvested later. And so when the locusts came, they ate all of the wheat off the top of the land. And that crop was destroyed. And then darkness came. We don't like darkness much. But there was darkness that came upon the land that was so heavy that it was felt. And there were no flashlights and no candles. It was impossible to light anything. The darkness was so deep. And then there was the death of the firstborn of Egypt. And in all of these things, Moses says that Israel watched the mighty hand of God against Egypt so that the people would be set free. Isn't that what Deuteronomy 29:2-3 says? Look at it again. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and all his servants and all his land, the great trials which your eyes have seen, those great signs and wonders." All that God did. And then drop down to verse 5. "I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandal has not worn out on your foot. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or strong drink, in order that you might know that I am the Lord your God. When you reach this place, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out to meet us for battle, and we defeated them." Imagine, 40 years, and their clothes did not wear out. Now, that had to be a work of God. When was the last time you went to Walmart or Dillard's to buy some clothes because you needed them? I remember very well sitting in our living room years ago in a Bible study, and one of the ladies in the Bible study noticed that my shoes needed repairing. And I got a check in the mail a few days later. "You better go get your shoes fixed, Denny. Your soles are worn out." And they weren't 40 years old, I can guarantee you that. But imagine the people walking in the wilderness for 40 years, and their shoes, their sandals did not wear out. That had to be a work of God. And then when they came up to the place where these kings met them, and the kings were saying, "You're not going to come in here," what happened? They were defeated. "We defeated them," Moses said. And the people saw all of these great wonders. Years ago in a class on a Lord's Day morning, an elderly man in the class stood up and said, "Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were back in the times of Moses and we could see all of these great things that God has done?" And the emphasis was, we'd believe it. We'd see it and believe it. You've heard that saying, haven't you? Seeing is believing. Look at verse 4. "Yet to this day," this is 40 years later now, after seeing all these things, "yet to this day, the Lord has not given you a heart to know, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear." What is it that we need? We need new hearts. That's what we need. We need the grace of God to work deeply within us, to change our hearts, to see Christ, to know God, to hear His Word. When I was a young man in Korea, and a chaplain talked to me about Christ, and we prayed together, and I walked away from that chaplain's office, and I can still see it in my mind. And I walked away from that chaplain's office, and I was walking up a little hill. I think to myself, "Lord, why is it that you've done this?" You see the emphasis there? I'm constrained to ask that question. And I hear in my own heart and mind the words of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, where Paul makes a confession of Christ that he says, He loved me and gave Himself up for me. And I make that confession. And I ask myself, why? Is it because of something in me? No. It's because of the grace of God. That's what it is. And that's what we all need. The overwhelming power of God's grace working in us. And the text this morning displays to us in a very phenomenal way what takes place when that grace is not present. Would you turn with me, please, to the New Testament and 1 Corinthians chapter 10? Paul talks about the Israelites. 1 Corinthians 10. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they were drinking from the spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. Why did these things happen in the wilderness? Why did God do all these miracles, and why did God take the people through the wilderness for 40 years? And why did they not see and hear and know? It says here it was for an example for us, for you and me. Continuing on in 1 Corinthians 10. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 of them fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example. And they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Why did these things happen? For our instruction. For your instruction, for my instruction. To show us our need of the grace of God. To show us our need of new hearts. To show us that we are before God and we need His work in our lives. It's so often the case, is it not, that we do think to ourselves, well, I'd never act that way. I'd never do those things. But the real issue is, dear friends, that we would be quite different without the grace of God. Quite different. I think of this tragedy in Colorado and the shootings in the high school there in Colorado Springs. That's what happens when there is an absence of the grace of God in the hearts of young men and women. That's the point. These things were done for our example. You think of this more recent occurrence in Fort Worth where the fellow went into the church building and there was a young people's rally. And I was kind of amused at one of the news reporters who said that the man stood at the back of the auditorium and patiently, with malice and forethought, shot indiscriminately. Now, I don't know how you do it purposefully and indiscriminately, or with attention and indiscriminately both at the same time. I don't think that's possible. I think he went in there and he took aim and he fired upon young people praying and singing before God. See, this is what happens when there is an absence of grace in the heart of a person. These things were done for our example, Paul says. And they are given to us so that we recognize our overwhelming need of the grace of God. Well, I'd like you to turn now to Romans chapter 11, right before 1 Corinthians, in Romans chapter 11, where Paul quotes the text we are looking at from Deuteronomy. He quotes from Deuteronomy 29 and verse 4. And the Apostle Paul confirms the words of Moses. Let's look at verses 1 through 8 again. Just read through them. I say then, God has not rejected His people, has He? May it never be, for I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected His people whom He foreknew. Or do you not know that the Scripture says in the passage about Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel, Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they are seeking my life. There's nobody left, God, but me, Elijah said. But what is the divine response to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. My grace is operative. I have kept for myself those who do not bow the knee to Baal. And then Paul explains this. In the same way, then, there has also come to be, at the present time, a remnant according to God's gracious choice, according to the election of grace, according to the gracious work of God. There continues to be that work of grace in the hearts of men and women. Verse 7, what then? What Israel is seeking, it has no longer obtained, but those who were chosen obtained it, and the rest were hardened. Just as it is written, God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes to see not and ears to hear not, down to this very day. And there the text from Deuteronomy appears, eyes to see not and ears to hear not. Why is it that men and women turn away from Christ? They don't have eyes to see. What do they need? They need the grace of God. That's what they need. And again, I submit to you, that's what we all need today. And that's what our community needs. That's what our state needs. That's what our nation needs. That's what our world needs. The grace of God in changing human hearts. Oh God, come to us, we pray. And change our hearts. Renew us, we pray. Make us new creatures, we ask. Would you be pleased to do that, O God? That's what it's about. And that ought to be your prayer, even as we utter it together at this moment. Would you turn back to Deuteronomy 29 again, please. You know, it's so easy, I say once again, for us to say, well, if I was in that position, I would do things a lot differently. Easy for us to say. The better thing to say, dear friends, when we look at tragedy that occurs in our world, the better thing for us to say is, but for the grace of God, there go I. That's the perspective we ought to have. And in Deuteronomy 29:4, again it says, yet to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to know, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear. And there's a companion verse in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 6. Maybe you just have to turn the page and you can see that. Moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, so that you may live. You see, the great commandment is simple. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And what's needed in order to be able to do that new heart, which is given by God. And when that new heart comes, you see the beauty of Jesus Christ. And you hear the voice of Christ calling. And you know God through faith in Jesus Christ. And so, I'm saying at the end of the outline then, we must learn from the example of Israel. And we must use the means of grace and urge others to use the means of grace. If grace is so important and our lives must be changed by the grace of God, we must utilize the means of grace. And what are those means of grace? Those means of grace include reading the Bible. They include praying. They include coming together with God's people for worship. And in the midst of the people of God worshiping, God is at work to change our hearts. You believe that's the case? I do. I really do. And one of the evidences of that is the fact that Lord's Day by Lord's Day, when I pronounce the benediction, I just don't run through it quickly. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be very gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance to you and give you peace. And then we're off. I don't do that. And some of you have noticed that that's the case. But I usually go through it slowly and purposely, because I really do believe God's at work. And I believe God's at work when we come together to sing, and when we come together to worship, and when we come together to pray, and that He's at work in a significant way in our lives to change us. And that's important, because we need the grace of God. And so we need to avail ourselves of the means of grace. And we need to urge others to avail themselves of the means of grace. And then I ask the question, has God given you a heart to know Him? Has God given you eyes to see Jesus Christ and to love Him and not just see Him as some ugly mass of humanity hanging on a cross, which was better to despise and get rid of, but rather a beautiful demonstration of God's love? And do you have ears to hear the call of Jesus Christ? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is that the case? Then I say to you, dear friends, God has been pleased to give you a heart to know, and eyes to see, and ears to hear. That's His grace at work in your life. And you need to give thanks to God for that. Because without that grace, you would not know.